Amen. Just remain standing and turn in your Bible, if you will. Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter number 53. Amen. Well, I hope you're standing on that rock, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it said, I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. And I was thinking about that Satan's wages do not last. They might have riches in this world, but it's only in this world. And what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Is what the Bible says. Amen. And so Satan's wages don't last. But I'm glad God's wages, God's gift, maybe we should say it that way, because the wages of sin is death. But God doesn't give wages, God gives a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. That means it lasts forever. Matter of fact, it means that the forever goes each way, forward and backwards. Amen. Eternal is everlasting from, if you say from one end to the other, because there is no end. Amen. And just interesting how the semantics of that goes. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 1. I preached last week from Isaiah 52, read the whole chapter 52, and then really preached from verse number 1. I want to read chapter 53, verse 1, just the first verse this morning. Bring a message from the thought there. The Bible says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm going to pick up from something I said last week, something that made me think again into this week. I don't know that I'm beginning a series on this. I don't have the intention necessarily to do so, but just a thought from where we left off last week. And preach on this thought again. Who hath believed our report? Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes, thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, as I said, we used this text last week in a sermon. I said then that I believe Isaiah 53 is holy ground. This chapter, as far as I know, is the pinnacle chapter dealing with the prophecy of the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. This chapter deals with it more clearly than any other chapter in the Old Testament. Perhaps its only rival might be Psalm number 22, perhaps. But he's dealing with the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross of Calvary in Isaiah 53. And as we thought about it, it's a wonderful text to read. It's a wonderful text to preach about. A wonderful text to meditate upon. And I got to thinking about, just in this original beginning of it, but without getting into the death, just the report that's given, the good news, the message that has sounded out. Amen. Do you know the death of Christ is what saves sinners, but they got to hear about it.
That's right.
Amen. It doesn't save sinners that don't hear about it.
Amen.
Amen. The way the Puritans would say it, or some of those writers would say, it's not effectual unto those who haven't heard. Christ's death was enough, but men need to hear the gospel. Amen. And so I'm glad that God allowed me to hear the gospel and now has called me to herald the gospel. Amen. And what an opportunity that we have. I'll deal with preaching and thinking along that line, but it's not just in preaching. Every one of us that have heard now have a responsibility to tell. Amen. We have that responsibility. And so I got to thinking about, as Isaiah, I thought about his excitement. And I'll say more about that as we go along. As he thinking about,
what he's getting ready to write about, what the vision that he's seeing, that great picture of the suffering of Christ on Calvary and the price being paid and the law being satisfied, God himself being satisfied with the death of his servant. Amen. Isaiah's excitement, but he begins this account not with excitement, but with sadness. Because he asks the question and it implies that so few have actually believed the report that's been given. Amen. And so let me just say and repeat by way of introduction a few of the things that we said last week, and then I'll get into the message for today. But it cannot be doubted that this report that he's talking about, Isaiah 53, is a report about one man. Only one man can fit the diagram given here. Only one character in all of history, in all of the world, in all the universe, you could search heaven over, you could search the earth and all under the earth. Only one man is found worthy to match this description given in Isaiah 53. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Matter of fact, when the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in his scroll of Isaiah 53, and he asked Philip the evangelist about who it was that this gospel account is given, in Acts 8, verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Isaiah was not preaching about himself. Isaiah was preaching about some other man. Amen. I'll have to say some other man. Amen. What a man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. That he was preaching about. I said also that if you'll compare the books we call the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that they agree specifically, especially in that account of the death of our Lord. They agree specifically with Isaiah chapter number 53. You'll also find in studying the New Testament that the apostles and writers of the New Testament have commented somewhere in the pages of the New Testament on almost every verse of Isaiah 53 somewhere, and they emphatically believed and understood that it was speaking of Jesus. Amen. So again, I say, I imagine that the prophet Isaiah must have rejoiced that God had given him this prophecy. He must have preached it with joy. He must have written it with joy. But he begins his contemplation with sadness because he cries out with regret. By the way, let me back up. This is good news he's talking about. This is not just any old good news. This is the best news mankind could ever hear. Amen. And yet he looks around and sees that so few believe it. Amen. And so he cries out with regret, who hath believed our report? It's as if he says, this news is so great, but why are there so few that are receiving the good news of the gospel? Amen. But I'll say that reveals to us the state of mankind. Amen. Most of men are so unconcerned about the state of their soul. They're so obstinate and antagonistic against God. They're at war with God. And so either they refuse to hear the report or just reject it outright or just put it off. They do not receive, but rather reject the report that has been given to them of the gospel. Amen. Our world's still doing it today. They did it in Isaiah's day, and they're still doing that today. As a majority, they're rejecting the good news. I preached last week and gave you 5 points that I pointed out about verse number 1. I talked about the matter of the report. He said it's a report. I talked about the many that have reported. It's not just my report, it's our. There's multitudes have reported this. I talked about the missing of the report. Who hath believed our report? Sounds like he's saying many have not. I talked about the miracle of the report and the fact that believing makes it effectual. Amen. And then I ended up talking about the master in the report. When this text is quoted in the Gospels and then again it's in the book of Acts and then again in the book of Romans, both times it uses the word Lord who hath believed our report? And so we see God involved in this report. Now today, I want to bear down on that first point that I talked about, the matter of the report. And I want to say this, the matter of the report is a matter of faith. I'm not just preaching a historical account. This is not just a historical lecture that we're given when we're given the gospel. There's a place, there's a time and place for historical lectures. I believe we need that in our society today. I believe we need to be reminded of the battles that were fought for our nation. I believe we need a reminder of some of the things that have happened in history. We need to remember those things. But in my sermon today, I want to think about this matter of the report. And again, I'll say again and again, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I said it last week as well that those two questions in verse number one, and I'm dealing primarily with the first, but those two questions tell you that I said Christ's death is not effectual unless it is preached, heralded, heard, and that doesn't mean with the physical ears. Deaf people can be saved if they'll hear with their spiritual ears. A lot of people hear with their physical ears that never hear with their spiritual ears. It's just, as they say, water on a duck's back. It just runs right off. But I say again, not only, I said Christ's death in itself would be ineffectual without it being heard, without it being preached and heralded. But even the preaching is ineffectual unless the arm of the Lord is revealed, unless the Spirit of God takes that word and drives it to the heart, because again, it goes beyond these physical ears. Amen. It goes in, it's got to get into the intellect, but it's more than an intellectual idea and an intellectual acceptance of a historical fact. It is a dogmatic belief that you know deep in your heart. Whether or not you ever see a fact of it, you know that it's so. Amen. And that's where we got to get if we're going to really accept this report and believe this report. So for my message today, I want to deal with three more questions. There's a question asked. The title is a question. So each of my points are going to be a question as well. I'll give you those three questions I'm going to ask and try to answer as we go along. Each of them entailed in this, who hath believed our report? My first question is, why does God call and send preachers? My second question is, what does this preaching or reporting do? And my third question is, what is required of the hearers? Because there is more than a requirement of the preacher to preach it. If there is a requirement. God calls men to go to the mission field, but there's a requirement on the mission field. Their requirement is to hear, believe, amen, and receive the gospel message. So we'll get to that. But number one, why does God call and send preachers? I'm going to say it's because He's got some good news to report. Amen. Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite, Fox News, CNN, all those folks do not agree to tell good news. They won't volunteer to tell good news. All they want to talk about is bad news. That's right, isn't it? But God's got some good news to tell. So He calls preachers to preach the good news. And again, I say, not just preachers to preach it, but witnesses to tell of it. Amen. He wants us to be spreading the good news. There is some good news to report. There is a story to tell. Amen. I meant to look to see if in our songbook there's a song that we learned at Vision several years ago entitled, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations." Amen. We learned it for a missions conference. And I'm not sure that I could sing it. I've got the words written down here. I looked them up online. Here's what the song says. "We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. For the darkness," this is the chorus, "for the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light." Verse 2, "We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord a song that shall conquer evil and shall shatter the spear and sword. And shall shatter the spear and sword. We've a message to give to the nations that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent His Son to save us and to show us that God is love. Amen. And to show us that God is love. Verse number 4 says, we've a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. Might come to the truth of God. We've a story to tell to the nations. I know we've got missions conference in, a couple of months. It's a month and a half, roughly. We've got missions conference coming up. But it's not just missions conference when we need to be thinking about the story.
Amen.
Amen. We've a story to tell to the nations. We've a story to tell to the neighbors. Amen. We've a story to tell to our family. Amen. We've a story to tell to our co-worker. We've got message. God's got a good news that He wants reported. Amen. And He's still, thank God, calling preachers and sending preachers to tell the good news. Amen. And amen. I'll say this. God is interested in people heralding the good news of the gospel. But there's one contingent. The only people that have a right to herald the good news of the gospel are those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious.
Amen.
Amen. Those that have experienced. Brother Sammy Allen used to say about that woman at the well and about how that woman got saved and she went back into town and told all of them she didn't go through a soul winning course. She didn't go through a Bible college course. She just got saved. Something happened to her and she went and told others what had happened to her. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Implying if He knows about me, He knows about you. Amen. If He can help me, He can help you. That's what she's implying. Amen. But she said it started with me. I heard it. Now I'm heralding the message. Amen. But Brother Sammy says it's hard to lead somebody to somebody that you don't know anything about. Amen. Hard to tell somebody about somebody you don't know anything about. So they have to have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Turn with me to John chapter number 1. And we'll look at this just a little bit in comparison to Isaiah 53 in this text. Who hath believed our report? John chapter number 1 and verse number 40. John chapter number 1 and verse number 40. Talks about these two disciples and John the Baptist. They were disciples of John the Baptist. John said, behold, the Lamb of God. All right, verse number 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. You know what happened first? He found him. Andrew found the Christ. And then Andrew found Peter and brought Peter to Christ. Amen. All right, but let's see. I'm finishing in verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip. And saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. So you see the process? Philip found Jesus. Now Philip finds Nathanael and brings Nathanael to Jesus. Amen. And Philip, let me find it again. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. So here's Andrew's message is, I have found him. I have found him. Amen. Like the song says, I found him whom my soul loves, my soul delights. Amen. Hallelujah. I have found him. Amen. And so we tell what happened to us. That's the whole thing. Amen. It's not that you got to, you know, have a doctrinal dissertation to be able to go down the line. No, you're able to tell what happened to you. So God's got good news to tell. But before you can tell it, you have to have experienced it. Amen. You have to have experienced it. So, again, Andrew said, we have found the Messiah. Philip said, we have found him whom Moses in the law and prophets did write. So these men both came to Christ. If we could say they found Christ, Christ called Philip. So it looks like Christ found him, if you want to say it that way. But whichever way you want to say it, they came to Christ. And then they went out to tell others about Christ as well. Amen. And so God calls and sends preachers because those preachers have found Christ to be all He promised to be. Amen. We've got a report. If you ladies find a bargain, you know what you do? You let somebody know about the bargain. You tell about it. You know what you say? I found a bargain.
Right.
Amen. Now you may say, well, I heard that so-and-so's got something at 50% off. And you get in there, they've marked it up about 200% so they can cut it down 50%. And you don't go and tell everybody, well, I found a bargain here because you found out weren't no real bargain. Amen. But can I tell you, when it comes to this thing of salvation, my goodness, did we ever find a bargain. Amen. We found a good deal, and it's good news, and it's real, and it's all that it said that it would be. Amen. He's all that He said He would be. Hallelujah. And so we ought to tell the good news of the gospel. Amen. I know I've said this once before here, but I remember the message that impacted me early in my ministry. Found a message by Mac Hodge that he preached down at Myrtle, Mississippi, entitled Advertising for Jesus, out of Mark chapter number 2, about how the house was filled. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. Amen. And he preached, I'm telling you, powerful message on that advertising for Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, I've been in department stores all across our country, and every department store I've ever been in had a place for returns. He said, because they know that it doesn't matter how good their product is, doesn't matter how big they advertise it, some people their product does not work for. Some people their product does not fit. Not everybody is satisfied with their product. But he said, I want to tell you, I've been to churches all across our country, and I've never yet one time found one with a return center or return policy. He said, you know why? Because the gospel message we're preaching fits everybody. Amen. The gospel message we're preaching suits everybody. Amen. The gospel message we're preaching satisfies everybody that tries it. Amen. And so the thing is, you've got to hear and then know that it is all God said it is. Amen. And you'll want to tell it to somebody else. Amen. Amen. So we can say, like the songwriter, the song that the Barnetts sang and the Barnett Slack Rickards sang other day. Come ye sinners, poor and hopeless. Jesus' blood can make you free. How you know that? Because He saved the worst among you when He saved a wretch like me. Amen. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. Therefore we can say to you, you try it. Amen. You try it and see if it won't work for you. That's why God calls and sends preachers. We've got a message to tell. Amen. Amen. Number two, what does this report do? Notice that in the case of Andrew and Philip, the report brought Peter and it brought Nathanael to Jesus. By the way, that is the goal of our preaching. Amen. Not to build a follower of ourselves. Not to build a name for ourselves, amen, but to bring people literally to Jesus, amen. But I noticed that in Isaiah 53, when he says, who hath believed our report, it doesn't look to me like that he's talking so much about that report bringing people to Jesus. It looks to me like he's talking about that report bringing Jesus to the sinner, amen. That report is about Him. He's going to tell all about Jesus that left the glories of heaven and came to this sin-cursed earth. Amen. And it's not so much about you getting to Him. It's that He's here now. And what are you going to do about Him? Amen. That's what the message is given here. And what this gospel report does, it brings Jesus to the people. By the way, that's why that Isaiah is so upset about people not receiving the report. People not believing the report. It's not that they're rejecting Him. It's that they're rejecting the Lord Himself. Amen. People fail to believe the report. And he laments because believing the report would mean salvation. But not believing the report would mean condemnation and damnation. Amen. So Isaiah and many others in the Scripture saw that by preaching the gospel, Christ is laid before sinners. Amen. He is offered unto them as the object of their faith. A proposal is made to them to be believed by them. Let me give you an illustration. When that unnamed servant, I think it was Eliezer, that unnamed servant of Abraham goes down to Padanaram to find a bride for Isaac. And he prays about it. He comes up there to that well, and it's a deep well, and it looks like he's got a lot of camels and a big train of camels there, and they drink a lot. And he prays and says, "Lord, when I ask somebody to draw water for us, and they say, the damsel that says, not only will I draw for you, but I'm going to draw for your camels as well." He said, "Let that be the one. I'll know that's the one." Amen. And so what he was asking for, he wasn't just asking for a sign. He was asking for a diligent woman. I mean, a woman that's going to go beyond, above and beyond what the average girl would do on that day. And so she does it. And he said, almost before he finished speaking, here she comes. And amen. And so he lays out to her. Well, at first he says to her, I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to go and talk to your family. And so when she talks to his family, or he talks to her family, he doesn't just lay it out to her. He lays out to the whole family. Amen. And he tells them about his master. And he tells them about his master's son. And he tells them that his master's son is looking for a bride. His master's son has all these riches. And his master's son's going to inherit all this land. And his master's son's got all this glory. And so he tells her all that. Why is he telling her that? So she can make a decision. Wilt thou go with this man? That's the whole thing. Wilt thou go with this man? Are you willing to turn loose of your life as you know it? By the way, that's repentance. Are you willing to turn loose of this life as you know it and go with this man? Amen. Are you willing to accept this story of the master's son that has all this glory? Are you willing to accept that? That's what this preaching does. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 10, and that's where this statement is used again about who hath believed our report. I read that part of it last week. I want to read some more verses of it this week. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 6 is where we'll start. Do a little lengthy reading here, all right? Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Here's our statement. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Amen. This whole text that I just read you is based on a report. It ends with that phrase, who hath believed our report. It begins by talking about how faith comes to the heart. Who's going to go up and get Jesus? Who's going to go down to the grave and bring up Jesus? He said, you don't have to do that. Because I preached the gospel to you, and the words in your mouth and the words in your heart, the very words that I preached to you. That preaching brings Jesus to the sinner. Amen. We say a lot of times, Lord, would you manifest your presence in the house of God? That's what preaching is to do. Amen. It is to bring Jesus to the sinner. Amen. He's saying Christ is near you. Christ is not a long way off. Matter of fact, Paul preached that when he's up there on that mountain talking to them at Athens. And he says, God is near you. He's not a long way off. You can find him if you'll search for him, because he's near. Because the word has been preached to you. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. It's not that Christ is a long ways off. He's near if you'll only believe. Amen. The idea here is that he's near enough to save those that will but repent and believe the gospel. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Paul talks about having been given this ministry of reconciliation. Brother Plemons dealt with this a little bit in our revival meeting. I want to take a thought from this as well. Dealing with this report, who hath believed? Amen. That heralding of the report brings Christ near enough for people to believe. Amen. You remember, before I get to this text, you remember Jesus was passing through. Jairus went to get him, to take him to his house. As Jesus was passing through, this woman with an issue of blood pressed through the crowd and touched him. Amen. I'm telling you, when the Word of God is preached, when the truth of God is preached, Jesus Christ is near enough that if a sinner will get hungry enough and serious enough, they can press through the crowd and they can touch the hem of his garment, because he's right there. If they'll only call on him while he's near. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 18. Let me get there. Paul says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us this ministry of reconciliation. Christ reconciled us. God reconciled the world through Christ. But our job is to tell about it. That's what he's saying, this ministry of reconciliation. Verse number 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the report that we're reporting. Amen. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Paul said God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Paul said God's called me to preach this ministry of reconciliation. He's preaching that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He saw that Christ used this gospel message to draw sinners unto him, all who would believe. Amen. So this gospel message is to be made to sinners. And I ask again, who hath believed our report? He goes on in the next verses. I read through verse 21, the end of chapter 5. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also. Paul said, we're begging you also. That, look at this phrase, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now wait a minute. He's talking to sinners. He said, we don't want you to receive the grace of God in vain. That's not saying get it and lose it. No. What's the grace of God he's talking about? He's not talking about the salvation that they receive. He's talking about the message that they're receiving. We don't want you to get this message and not get it. We don't want you to hear this message and not hear it. Amen. We don't want this message. It's the grace of God that you're getting this message. That's what he's saying. It's the grace of God that you're hearing this report, and we want you to get a hold of it. Amen. All right, look on verse number 2. For he hath said, this is in parentheses, for he hath said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. I ask you the question, when can the Lord be found? At an acceptable time. When is an acceptable time? When that message is preached to your heart, that's when the accepted time is. Amen. Paul saw it was grace that offered them the gospel. Amen. Paul saw that it was grace being offered to those who heard this report. If they would, they could access that grace. It's right there. Grace has been given. Amen. They could access it. Having heard the report, if they would take it, they could have grace. But if they reject it, they would not have grace. But they would have received the grace of God in vain. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm simply saying that the preaching of the gospel brings Christ near to us, that we can touch Him. Amen. It brings Christ near to the hearer, that they can then be saved. Turn back to Isaiah, chapter number 55. If you're marked 53, it'd be easy to get back there. Chapter 55. There's a verse here that we quote a lot of times in invitation time. We quote it to sinners because it's a needful verse. Isaiah 55 and verse number 6 and verse number 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, unto our God, and He will abundantly pardon. Amen. Seek ye the Lord, underline this phrase, while He may be found. When can the Lord be found? I'll tell you when. When you've heard the preaching and you've been pricked in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't wait for some preacher to say, well, it's invitation time. When the Holy Ghost says, it's invitation time. Amen. I'd leap from my pew and run to Jesus if that's what it took. I'd fall in the floor if that's what it took. Amen. I'd flee, or as they'd say, fly to Jesus. Amen. When the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. That's the time to call on God by faith. That's the time to turn from your sin and to turn to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I say again, who hath believed our report? So we've asked and I believe answered the question, why does God call and send preachers? We've asked and answered the question, what does that preaching do? Now the third one is this, what is required of the hearers of the report? Turn back to John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1. I won't be long on this point. John chapter number 1. We know this text well. Jesus offered Himself to the Jews of His day, but they didn't receive Him. He's talking about that light that came into the world. All right? Verse number, let's see if I can find it. Verse number 11, John 1, 11. Probably got it memorized. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now that's not talking about the quote-unquote elect that was predestined before the foundation of the world to be saved. Because if He did, He came to them, and they didn't get saved. He's not talking about them. His own, that he's talking about there, is His own nation. He's born a Jew. He came unto His own. He came unto the Jews. The gospel came to the Jews first. Amen. Came to them first. And so He came unto them. He offered Himself unto them. But they did not accept Him. Look at verse number, let me back up verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Amen. Now, when I read this week, I noticed something that I had previously overlook the significance of it. In this statement, Christ came in, He came into His own received Him not. Christ is not just revealing Himself to those who would be saved. He's offering Himself to those who would not be saved. They received Him not. He's offering Himself to all of them, those that would and those that would not. Amen. Amen. He's making that offer to all of them. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Why were they not saved? When Jesus came to them, why were they not saved? Because they didn't believe. Because they received Him not. Amen. They heard the report, but they didn't believe it. Look down at verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. That's the way God declared it. That's the way God decreed it. The only way to come to Christ, the only way to come to God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, you got to hear the report. You got to believe the report. You got to receive the Son of God. Amen. Now here are some complaints Christ made. Turn to John chapter 5. Christ made some complaints about these Pharisees and lawyers. John chapter number 5, verse number 39, we know real well. He's talking to people that would not believe the report. Look at verse 39. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he's saying the report is about me. Verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The Scriptures report about Jesus, but they won't receive the report. So they don't receive Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter number 23. He calls them out by name, the Pharisees and the lawyers. Matthew 23 and verse number 33. I'm winding down. Of course, I can wind down for hours sometimes. Amen. Matthew 23, verse 33. Words of our Lord. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets. What's those prophets doing? They're giving the report. And wise men and scribes. What are they doing? They're giving the report. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. By the way, the prophets are telling the report. When they're sent unto you, they're sending the report unto you, but you're killing them. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. There's a phrase. And ye would not. You would not accept the report. You would not accept the gospel. Look at verse 38. Behold, since you reject the gospel, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. I believe that's a prophecy to Israel. Israel's going to be looking for the Messiah when he comes. Now they're thinking he's coming the first time, but they're going to be looking for him. Amen. But I believe it's more than prophetic. I believe he's also saying this. I believe you can see the application right here very easy. Very easy. He said, I sent the report and you wouldn't believe it. And you're never going to get to me until you hear the report. You're going to have to say, blessed is he that cometh. What's he talking about cometh? Them beautiful feet of the ones that bring in good news from a far country. Amen. Those beautiful feet of those that are telling the good news of a Savior that died on Calvary for our sin. He said, you're going to have to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus offered to gather them into safety. And he declared, but ye would not. Amen. Brother Kuhn, I believe, told me a story. Somebody told me a story last Sunday. I think it was Brother Kuhn. And on a ship. About a man that leaped off the ship. And I guess suicide, right? Committing suicide. Leaped off the ship into the deep. And did they throw him the life saver? And he pushed it away. And drowned. With a life saver within touch. The life saver within touch. And I thought about that. Jesus said, here I am. You've heard it. You've rejected everything you've heard. Here I am in person. I'm near you today. You could touch me. And ye would not. That's what he said. And ye... So what's the responsibility? The responsibility of the hearer is to believe the report. The responsibility of the believer is to reach out to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, turn to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. John the Baptist preaching and baptizing unto repentance. This is the account God gives of these Pharisees. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 29. Luke 7, 29 and 30. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Notice verse number 29, the phrase, first line, and all the people that heard him. You can see by that text that some of the people that heard him believed and were baptized. All them that heard him and believed were baptized. Amen. But you can also see in the next line that some that heard him did not believe and were not baptized. Amen. So the phrase in verse number 29 that says all the people that heard him must mean all the people that heard and believed the report that he had given were baptized. Amen. They believed John's report. They heard him and were baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers, verse 29 says, or verse 30 says, rejected John's message. They didn't believe his report. Now here's what the Bible says about John's message. That it wasn't just John's report. It was God's counsel. They didn't just reject John's preaching. They rejected God's counsel. Because he said they let me read it. In verse number 30, let me get back there, verse number 30, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God. Why did they reject it? Because it was against them.
Right.
Amen. They're thinking they're going to heaven praying their rosary. They're thinking they're going to heaven keeping their law. They're thinking they're going to heaven because they're a good neighbor. They're thinking they're going to heaven because their good works hopefully measure up better than their bad works. They're thinking they've got their way of salvation, and so the counsel of God is against them. That counsel says, forget all that.
Amen.
The only way to God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But they rejected it. Amen. I said this, I think, last week. I'll say it now emphatically. I know it's right. That if you receive the gospel message today, it will testify for you unto salvation.
Right.
But if you reject the gospel message, one day it'll testify against you on judgment day. Amen. You remember, and I'm not going to have you turn here, but in Acts chapter number 13, Paul and Barnabas were preaching to the Jews in the synagogue of Antioch, Pisidia. Once they had rejected their report, Paul had this to say. Here's what they said. Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing ye put it from you," look at this phrase, "and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Paul and Barnabas said, "You reject the gospel? The gospel is going to judge you one day and stand as testifying against you." But he said, "You're judging yourself that you're unworthy of everlasting life if you reject the gospel." Amen. So I say today, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If Jesus is near you today, you've heard the preaching, you feel His presence, you know He's there, would you run to Him? Would you call upon Him? Or are you willing for Him to move on to somebody else since you've rejected that gospel message? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. I say to the saint, is there somebody you need to tell this good message, good news to? Is there somebody you need to warn? Is there somebody that you need to spread the gospel to? Maybe you've received it but been negligent about repeating it. I say to the sinner, Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. He drank the dregs from the cup. He did that for you. He suffered for you. And it's good news that you get to hear about it. Are you willing to accept that? Or are you willing to accept the consequences of rejecting it? Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the time in the pulpit today in Your presence and help. As we've tried to expound again on this report, wonderful, wonderful story of Jesus. Lord, I think as the songwriter said, I love to tell the story of Jesus. I love to tell it. Lord, I pray You'd deal with some sinner. Bring Christ near some sinner today that they might reach out and touch His garment. That they might be saved. That they might believe. Lord, I pray help us as believers to herald the good news. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in it and to bring You the glory You deserve. We ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. I'm going to give invitation time. We're going to sing. And as we sing, if you need to come, the altar is open. Would you obey the Lord?